right, welcome back. This is our fourth of the 2025 Advent podcasts, and we're featuring the whole ministry staff. So this is John.
Tanya.
Eric.
And Rachel.
Great to have all of us here in one place, or in our own separate places as we're recording. So what are some of your favorite memories of Christmas growing up?
I'll start. One of my favorite memories, and it's really very simple. It happened each year where when we would go to sleep on Christmas Eve and the tree was beautiful and the lights were out and we had done all of our little reindeer and Santa rituals and we had been into the Christmas Eve service and we just got to go to sleep. But at some point, magically in the night, things got moved to the couch. The stocking started to overflow. Presents appeared that we had no idea we even wanted. And maybe when I was very little, we would just run out and yay, presents. When we got a little bit older, maybe 8 or 9, I would tiptoe out to make sure that everything had been put in place, make sure that the events had happened like they had in every year before, tiptoe back, wake up my sister very quietly, and we would let my parents sleep in for an extra 30 minutes or so, and we would just stare from a distance at, wouldn't go in and look at everything, but we would just
that is a lot of self-control
until they woke up. And our reward was usually chocolate chip pancakes with peppermint in them, and got to open the presents and play with everything. But that happened every year until at least high school, if not beyond. Every year, I think we were at home, and it was that fun little inside joke that we knew it was in there. We knew the presents were right there, but we were just gonna hold on together and wait. It was probably the nicest we ever were to each other throughout the year.
It gets to kind of that open secret thing. You know, everybody knows, but nobody really talks about it. Who else has a favorite memory of Christmas growing up?
You probably would not be surprised, for those of you who know me well, to know that most of my greatest memories focus around food. So I think one of my favorite things that we did as a family was to make a big breakfast together on Christmas morning. And it was special because it was all similar every time. You know, we always had grits and eggs and bacon and all the things. But we worked together on it as a family. And there was always the family game. We always got one game for Christmas that we shared. And so we would make breakfast and then we would play the game. And we continued that tradition and have continued that tradition with our family, with the Parks family, except for the one year that I took John home for Christmas for the very first year. And I had been telling him all about this great tradition that I loved so much. And that was the year that my mom had been reading something about changing traditions up. And so we had shrimp and something else, which was very tasty, but not what I had told him it was going to be. And I was just devastated by it. But I enjoy both the food, the comfort food in that, and the doing it together as a family.
Hmm. Yeah. If it makes any difference, it didn't bother me at all.
Of course not.
Fantastic lunch.
Who could be bothered by shrimp?
People with shellfish allergy, but other than that, I think everybody would be okay.
I think this always just jumps out. I have so many like really meaningful, you know, Christmas memories, but the one that always comes to mind is, I don't remember, I think it was in high school, maybe early high school. And that particular year we had gotten this big snowstorm and it turned into kind of an ice storm and, you know, everything was shut down. And we woke up Christmas morning and the power was out. So there's no heat. And, but we couldn't get out. I mean, we were just like, well, let's just do what we normally do. But it was really funny because, I mean, not that we all had clothes to wear, we were fine, but we would open up like pajamas that somebody had given us and immediately put them on because it was like 50 degrees in the house. It's just kind of a silly, fun Christmas memory that I remember. That'll always stay with me for some reason.
It's odd what sticks in our memories the strongest, because it's not the kind of things that you would expect if you were to make something up.
Yeah. And it's usually not the most blissful.
Yeah.
It's true. The ones that have a little bit of both the good and the bad in them.
Yeah. I I was only child growing up, so I was always used to entertaining myself. But when the Christmas tree got put up and the lights got out and everything, I would always take my toys into the living room in front of the Christmas tree to play. I just loved basking in the glow of those lights. And I still do. I still love having it, having the lights up and having them on. It just kind of gives me a different atmosphere. So my stepdad came into when that we came into his house after he and my mom married. And he had this old 70s lamp thing with like a floodlight underneath it. And this, and it turned slowly, and there was different color gels over it. So like it would, the room would light up green. And as it turned, then it would slowly turn to red and yellow. And I loved that thing. And then one year we came home and it had gotten left on, and it like melted. I guess it's amazing in retrospect that it didn't start a fire, but the thing melted like all the gels and stuff. So, and of course, by that point, nobody was selling those things anymore. I bet I could find one on eBay now.
I know what to get y'all for Christmas now.
Right. You know, just scouring eBay for a fire hazard. So each of these podcasts that we've done, we've talked a little bit about this concept of Christmas and the parts of it that we don't always talk about, or the reasons that some people choose not to celebrate Christmas or choose to leave it behind. And one of those is just how commercialized Christmas has become. And I don't know that it needs that much explanation. I was looking at articles and things about when all that started. And if you care, it was back in the 1840s when they were Macy's and some of these big retailers started setting up window decorations for Christmas and having a Santa Claus inside. Santa wasn't even a huge thing until, you know, the mid 1800s. But it's such a part of our life now. It's so ingrained. How do you feel? I get different takes from everybody I ask this question. When you see the Christmas decorations going up like before Halloween, how does it make you feel? Do you like it? Do you love that? Do you hate it? Are you kind of ambivalent about it?
I think it's mixed feelings. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me, though, is part of why, and we've been talking about this all season, but part of why Christmas can be so special to me anyway is because of the anticipation and the having to wait for it, right? And so, you know, and we just skip over these other seasons and kind of morph everything into one big 4-month holiday season, it kind of loses the, you know, the fun of it. So I'm usually a little bit disappointed, you know, because it's like you don't have that anticipation as much anymore when it's just always in your face. And of course, like you said, I mean, that's for commercial, you know, profit reasons and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, not my favorite thing.
I love Christmas in December. I don't love it before that. So when I see it out before that, anytime before Thanksgiving, I start feeling that bubble up of like annoyance over the commercialization of it.
We very strictly don't decorate until after Thanksgiving. Yeah. But also very soon after Thanksgiving, because I do want all the decorations during the Christmas season, but I don't need my life to be filled with the anticipation for 6 months of Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. It burns out after a while. And but I love gift giving. And I love getting gifts. I think that's a really fun part of our Christmas season is we love to give and give a lot and give really thoughtful things, but not just giving because we feel like we have to.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the decorations, but yeah, then there's also the shopping that they encourage. You know, Black Friday now starts 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And I don't know, as we were talking about it, I was kind of intrigued when we first moved back to the States a few years ago at how popular the Nightmare Before Christmas, that those decorations and stuff. And as we were talking about it, I realized that's probably, again, kind of a commercial move because you can merge Halloween and Christmas together and it gives you an excuse to have the decorations out even earlier.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm sure whatever the roots of it are, I'm sure there was money behind it. And we talk about the commercialization of it and really how it's become more of a cultural phenomenon and happening than a religious holiday. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about that, because in some ways I feel like it is a part of our religious tradition and something for us to celebrate. But at the same time, I look at the good things that happen this time of year. We talked about that a little on the last podcast, the this concept of generosity and giving gifts, of making peace, at least trying to put up with relatives that we don't otherwise get along with for a few hours. Just the good things that come about because of the Christmas celebration that our culture might not have otherwise. What are your thoughts on that, about what the phenomenon that Christmas has become?
I think there's so many aspects where I can, not just Christmas, but in general, where I don't like to be told how to feel and how I should be responding to a situation. Not the same as checking myself, right? But when I feel like something's being pulled out, being manufactured to feel or to be or act a certain way, I tend to push back against that. And so some Christmas traditions, or the we've got to feel like this, we have to have these emotions, we need to make sure that we're putting it all in a box so that we can get through this and push for this, and that's exhausting, and I don't like doing that. And so I, in my mid-30s now, there's some traditions I'm putting down that are not tied into my faith so significantly that Christmas can't be celebrated. Being more present and authentic and all of those wonderful things, but only to the point that it still is shaping my Christmas season with my faith.
That's good.
And this wasn't really your question, but it does also make me think, what Rachel said makes me think about the grief that comes with some of these big holidays too. We deal with it in the church with Mother's Day and Father's Day, with, you know, even Thanksgiving, but especially at Christmas, just how difficult it is when you have loved ones that are no longer with you and you used to have these really rich traditions and they aren't a part of those anymore. And so the grief that comes along with the holidays, that can be a whole month thing or even more when it's in our face all the time. So I think about folks who've lost people in the year or around this time of year, which does seem to happen a lot. But then also the beauty of us being more attentive to giving, us being more attentive to loving a little more deeply, to spending time with family, to, like Rachel said, finding thoughtful gifts that say, this is what you mean to me, or when I saw this, I thought of you. That there's beauty in those things too.
Yeah, and there's some, what you're talking about, we're kind of transitioning questions now, but really thinking about what are some ways that we can observe more thoughtfully and mindfully, and both of you mentioned kind of some of those ideas. How can we, obviously we're not going to be able to like boycott Walmart or during Christmas, or, you know, none of our actions to combat commercialization are going to come to, you know, the world is going to roll on. So really it's kind of a question for us personally and for our own families and relationships. How do we bring meaning back into a season that has become so much about buying and receiving and so much about sentimentality? What are some ways that we can combat that in our own lives, in our own families and traditions?
Yep. I think part of it actually does, for me, tie into the commercialism piece, though this isn't going to correct commercialism as a whole. But for me, just a practical attempt to spend less money. Mm-hmm. Because I often feel that part of how I get wrapped up in, you know, all of the stuff we're talking about that maybe aren't as helpful is a pressure to spend X amount of dollars on this family member and X amount of dollars for this thing, you know, and I don't know where that comes from exactly. Like, we all probably just get into routines and habits with our families or our loved ones, but just the simple act of saying, I'm just not going to spend that much money this year. It forces me to get creative with gift giving and to really think deeply about the gifts that I'm giving people. And that in itself has been really meaningful. I think as well, though, finding something small to do every day during the season of Advent. Like, I also put pressure on myself to do it really great and to be, you know, fully immersed in all of the meaning and the And that can be a lot too. And so just taking like a small thing that, okay, I'm just going to read this Advent devotional reading every day. It's going to take me a minute and a half, but I can do that. You know, those consistent kind of reminders.
One thing that's coming to mind through this is making your own traditions. We started talking about the ones we remember growing up, which are so much fun. We don't have children, but Christmas doesn't, I see a lot of gifts are just for the kids. Christmas is for the kids. And I completely understand that if you're stretching your dollars and your time and your energy, and you want to focus on your children, but if there are not children to be focused on, how do you still make that season meaningful for the people in your life, your family, or if you're on your own, where do you find those things? And so for us, that's sometimes taking time to watch our favorite Christmas movie that we see every single year. But I know it's Tuesday night. Let's sit down and watch this movie with some hot chocolate just because, and then one step further for the commercialism part of it, we reuse our decorations every year. We are pretty careful about how we wrap things, but also that broken ornament that we don't keep putting it back in the box. That ornament is not the person who gave it to us or the person that we got it from years ago. We can get rid of the things that are broken without discarding what we remember about that person. So trying to balance the stuff that we have and that we have to save and put out each year, and some grace. We don't have to put everything out all the time. We don't have to watch every movie and go to every event and have a gift for every person in the room.
And I think too, as whether it be the same family situation that you've had for 20 years or a new family situation, which I think we're all across the board represented in this group differently, as we add traditions, because you can at any time, you know, like that was why my mom had read that dumb article about the shrimp. You can start something new. She realized that in the end, that actually wasn't going to be the one we were going to start new. But the idea was shaking up their traditions and realizing that you can start new ones and you can leave others behind. And being intentional about the new ones that you start. Don't start new traditions that center around commercialism, consumerism. Yeah. Start new traditions that center around being present or, you know, doing things with meaning. So being intentional about the things that you start and making them be things that have value.
It's good.
Yep.
Transitioning a little bit, as we've come through this Advent season, our focus has been on the unexpected ways that God shows up in this story of Jesus' birth and the announcement of John's birth and Jesus' birth and the birth itself and all the stuff that happened around it, that God was popping in surprising ways. And all of these stories are familiar to us. We hear them every year, multiple times every year. Those of us who are preaching, we've preached on all these different places so many times through the years. I'm wondering if something has jumped out to you new and different this year, that God has kind of surprised you as you've reread a familiar story. I'm thinking particularly in the last podcast when we were talking about Joseph, just imagining how Joseph's community would have reacted to what he was doing. The question even came up, like, would Joseph even have told people, like, so I'm taking Mary in, but let me tell you why I had this dream and God said this? Or would he just been like, this is, what kind of atmosphere it created? And it kind of highlights to me Joseph's courage in making a courageous, loving decision. Wondering if any of you have had a new encounter with a familiar story this season.
I'm not sure if it's new. Sometimes I'll have insights or thoughts about things that I feel like are new, and then I'll go back in my notes somewhere and realize, like, oh, I actually had this 3 or 4 years ago, just completely forgot about it. It's just kind of funny to be reminded. But the story of Zechariah and just the idea, I've been kind of thinking about this a lot, of being struck dumb, like in the face of a divine encounter. And, you know, we read that as some sort of punishment for his lack of faith or something, which, you know, you can kind of see it that way. I think it's part of it. But also, like, in a way, what a gift to have this experience that literally dumbfounds you, you know, and having to wrestle with, you know, that experience of God. I don't know. I've just been kind of mulling that over throughout the season since that first Sunday.
And how his awareness of other things was probably stoked. Just because he couldn't talk about it makes me wonder if he was a kind of a real extrovert and loquacious, talkative person, suddenly not able to use that facility anymore.
Yeah,
exactly.
None of us would know what that might be like. I'm always struck. I don't know that it's new this year. I'm just always struck by the story of the shepherds and this just band of maybe guys and gals, you know, who just were stinky, and the just the lowest piece of what it would be to see a king, who were the first to hear about the birth of Jesus. I just think it's beautiful.
I've been, again, I don't think it's new. Like Tanya said, I think each year there's a little bit of this for Mary and Joseph, where their life has just been completely, you know, whatever plans you had, whatever you thought you were going to do is different and maybe gone entirely. Your life has completely changed, and the grief and the anger that I'm sure came with that, because it's just so confusing and overwhelming. And we have, I think, the privilege of knowing the next pieces of the story, that there was good and joy and all of these things that they had waited for so long. But when it's impacting you, just because it's good for all doesn't mean you don't have a lot of other emotions attached to it.
It's good. Really good. Well, thank you all for taking the time today and for the time that we've had over the last few weeks to do this. And just want to remind our felt UBC family and other who might be listening to this to use this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day as you're having dinner around the table or and celebrating together, to use it as an opportunity to have a conversation, to go back to either, you know, the reason that we're celebrating and who Jesus is and why it's important that we're celebrating him, to asking the simple question that we've been asking ourselves over this season: where has God shown up for you this year? Where has God surprised you? And using the time together to share that and to create maybe a new meaningful tradition through discussion at a time when we get so caught up in sentimentality and giving and getting. So thank you all again. And yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.